or, you know, those business performance behavior, if you will, that's consistent with our belief system. So as Christians, believers, whatever you want to call it, that should impact your business a certain way. I will say, I talk sometimes like the old guy who's been there, done that, but I kind of have, you know, God's been so good to me, and I worked hard, and he's blessed me in a lot of ways. And when I was in all my years in banking, I got to see so many things, and I got in so tight with so many major businesses, and I got to know them intimately because they were clients and friends, and I had agreements with them that I wouldn't, you know, I would have personal conversations, the kind of like a journalist, off the record. Because when you represent the bank that handles and controls all their finances, that's a pretty intimidating factor when they're trying to share with you some financial concerns or hopes and, you know, or just various challenges and stuff. So I've gotten to see a lot of businesses over the years. I've gotten to see how they operate and what the ethical standards are, and my ultimate desire and goal is to integrate and implement Christian ethics. We do a lot of investment portfolios for people. We build solid assets for the long haul, if you will. Short, medium, long haul, we've got individuals that want to, you know, buy in today and cash out next summer. I have no problem with that. Historically through history, there's a redundant statement. Historically, the metals have had their best performance in the fourth and first quarters of the year. There's a variety of reasons why, I suppose. We have things like the October surprise on election year. I think we might have just saw October surprise one with Trump's coronavirus. I really believe that. There's so much information I was reading about some guy named Ching Chang, and I'm totally not joking. I think that was it. And he was talking about how Jin John, whatever, knew where Trump's gal was going to be and planted this virus on him, and on and on and on, and how, you know, it just goes crazy. So I think what was going on there, I think they're getting their butt kicked, excuse me, but I think Trump was supposed to be a tragedy. It was supposed to give the left the opportunity to go, no more debates, no more nothing, mail-in ballots because Trump is sick. Trump gets, you know, tested positive on what, Thursday maybe? Wednesday, Thursday, and he's back to work Monday. And they said he never had a fever, he never had this. They tried to be a little bit HIPAA-sensitive when they said, is the president on oxygen right now? And they, or, you know, and he said, no, he's not currently on oxygen at the moment. Which made it sound like he had been on oxygen. And then they came out and said, no, that's not the case. We were just trying to honor his privacy and, you know, and respect all that. And we're sorry, but no. They're basically saying there was no adverse reaction. I mean, they said, well, Donald Trump got a little bit fatigued, all right? Well, let me tell you something. If any of us ran like he ran at 70-whatever years old, I think you might get a little bit fatigued. He does the impossible. I remember when Rudy Giuliani traveled with him. I can't remember the specifics, but Rudy said, if you ask anybody who knows me, they'll tell you that I am I operate on the least amount of sleep of anybody you'll ever meet. And he said, when I traveled with Trump for a week or better, whatever it was, he said, I met my match. He said he would go to bed. Like Giuliani, don't ask me how people do this. I can do it some. I do it. In fact, I do it too much, and I get pretty beat up. But I don't. I love sleep, but I have stuff to do. But Rudy was saying how he gets, you know, he goes to bed late, like 1:30, and then he gets up at like 4:35, you know, 5:30, whatever it is. And he said he, when he was with Trump, like 1:30 would roll around, 2 would hit, and he said Trump would just be going strong. He said there's everything's business. He's always working. He's trying to do one more thing while he sits in that seat. He's like, this is my time. What a cool guy. What a godly approach. It's like he sees it as an opportunity, not an entitlement. You get Obama, you got, I've said the gal that did the transition said Trump did more in 3 or 4 weeks than Obama did in 8 years. So you got Trump pounding it. And, you know, I also believe you can get the grace of God. If you've got the covering of God, he can do supernatural things to your health. Anyway, so they said Trump was fatigued, okay, which means he needed a nap, probably. But Giuliani said he'd go to bed, you know. Giuliani said 2 o'clock would roll around, he'd be tired. He said I got to go to bed, Mr. President. He said he'd be to bed 2:30. He said he'd be back up at 5:30, and the president would already be up, you know, ready to roll. And he's like, when do you sleep? And he's like, I sleep, and no one knows when he sleeps. They think he might get a catnap here and there. I don't know. But he's a superhuman. But his wife, you know, she's superhuman too. But neither of them are showing signs or symptoms of any significance. It's kind of crazy because if the coronavirus is such a great threat, then, okay, throw it at the president. But if it's not, don't let us see the president brush it off like water off a duck's back. I'm not saying it's not a beautiful thing. It's really weird, folks. When you look at everything that's going on now, I mean, if you look at it from the opposite perspective, instead of, oh my gosh, it's one attack after another, it's one thing after the next. Yes, it is. You have got the devil, okay? I mean, this is worse than a street fight. This is probably worse than gang warfare. This is probably like the worst guerrilla warfare ever. But they're using money and influence and dirty tactics to go after this guy. It's like one thing after the next. They've transformed and tip-sided our nation and our globe. And when I talked to these liberals, and I did last week, oh, it's so irritating. He's so this and so that. Are you kidding me? They have literally recruited and turned over heaven and earth to try to destroy this guy. They have forced us into a multi-trillion dollar excessive deficit. They have collapsed the global economy. They've increased death by despair 8 to 18 fold. They've absolutely destroyed the most amazing country in the history of the world. They've gone after the President of the United States with false accusations. For those of you who still like the Bible, thou shalt not bear false witness. So when you get these politicians that are lying and falsely accusing, in God's eyes, you have leaders that are using tactics that are similar to murder, adultery, etc. And by the way, another one that's oft overlooked is the children honor your parents. You'll live a long, healthy, happy life. That one's been forgotten in society too because, or honor your father and mother. Because you look at these rioters, these kids are 18, 19 years old. Do you think they're honoring their parents? But the left's feeding it, right? I mean, they want to keep it going. They want to keep it going on. You know, and people who don't believe as I believe, most people believe the Ten Commandments are pretty good. I really can't imagine not thinking the Ten Commandments are good. I mean, if they aren't, I'd like to know why. And as I've said multiple times, as an adult parent, I would never let my children behave the way these crazy people are behaving. Trump's the toughest guy on the block, man. People want to call him a bully, but you know what? He's the toughest guy. He's taken beatings. He's taken shots. He's taken everything all the time, nonstop. And what does he do? He goes out and he gets these rallies and people go, "We love you, man. We're behind you." And he needs that. What has he done wrong? Everything. Because, I mean, we're going to destroy, I mean, hypothetically, heaven and earth. Because you don't like a guy? Because you really don't like his personality? 95% of the people I talk to, it's because they don't like his personality. You talk to him and, oh, because he's, and then you try to push him further. Well, he's a racist. Why? Well, he said something bad about Mexicans or something. You know, when he announced his thing, the media is full of lies. He goes, they're not sending us their best. He said they send us some good people, but also they're intentionally pushing through their bad. Of course they are. A country like Mexico, when we have a porous border, they're going to put people, and I've heard these stories, it's called banishment or some, you know, similar, where they'll take MS-13 and say, okay, you either go there or you go to jail here, you know, and they'll let them go. Or worse, they'll facilitate large groups for money. That system is so corrupt and everybody's so broke that they're just put into a position of compromise. It's bad because it comes from the top down. I don't know how you could transform and clean up the Mexican system without a system like ours. We have a firm, non-negotiable, foundational republic, a constitution that's very difficult to change, praise God, but it's very beneficial and purposeful. The new brainwashing is we got to change it. It's garbage. It's old. How about that? It's old. It's old. It's outdated. It's archaic. You know, it's an antiquity. Okay, great. What about the Bible? Well, I suppose the same people say the same thing. That's old stuff. They never knew how smart we were going to get and how intelligent, how incredibly profound we are. And, you know, we're so much better and beyond all this, just like our money. I mean, heck, we're so smart. Rather than taking what God said in the Bible, that old relic, and living on precious metals as God's ordained, authorized, and commanded form of money and currency, which is also blessed by him with the highest rabbinical ancient Hebrew words like Tav, it's the almighty word of good. But we're way smarter than that. We came up with this great idea. Folks, tell me this wouldn't cross your mind when you're about 14 years old. Like, wouldn't it be cool if me and my buddies could get a big old machine and just print all the currency for the whole world and control it all and just back it up, you know, and then you can't get it out there because people won't exchange for it, because then the Fed's sitting on a whole bunch of notes from the U.S. government. No, they have this system of redemption where they abolish and wipe out the government debt and replace it with debt on the citizenry. Wow. How about that? I always picture, when I think of the Fed and fiat currency, I picture a mountain, not a real mountain, but a massive quantity of pink Monopoly money. And everybody thinks it's legit and everyone plays along. But it's pink Monopoly money either way. It is backed by nothing. So many things, okay? This country's been solid as a rock. economically, financially, brilliance, blessing, you know. And there's, so as long as that stuff holds up, we're good. But when does it end? When does it end? It can't go forever. We're pumping it out like it's going out of style and pushing it all over the world. And we're saying, hey, it's good money. We're worth it. Why? Because we have good people that are innovative. And if you understood how they calculated the debt, you'd be surprised. Because we're in, you know, Revelation 17 or 18, I think 18, where it talks about the fall of the World Trade Centers or the Mystery Babylon. One of the last things it says it trades in is the bodies and souls of men. Well, we know a number of different ways that that's starting to come to fruition. We've got the sex slave trade and that stuff. But also debt consumes a man's soul. The debtor becomes servant to the lender. And they're slapping debt on the back of all of us, making us slaves. You are born in this country moving and shaking, or you're homeless and poor, because the system will pass you up. It keeps going. There is hyperinflation all the time. You have to perform. Your mom and dad have to perform. They got to produce income all the time to live. You can't just have, you know, precious metals in the drawer. Well, you can, but not the way they used to take their money, gold and silver, and just save it. That's why they had to change the system. They had no control. They didn't like it. 1895 was a Great Depression they used to push through the Federal Reserve Act ultimately, but it was caused by corrupt banks. People wanted decentralization of the banks in mass. And they were able to con when they put together the fiat currency system, known as the Federal Reserve System, based on Keynesian economics. And I've read John Maynard Keynes, you know, quotes many times that he says through a series of inflation, it allows the government to confiscate an important part of the people's wealth secretly and unobserved without their knowing it. And I think I might have blew that a little bit. He starts out, yeah, I missed a minor thing. The best way, he says, to destroy the capitalist system is to debauch the currency by a continuing process of inflation. Governments can confiscate secretly and unobserved an important part of the wealth of its citizens. Does that sound like a really great economic system we should adopt? In the nation, by the people, for the people. And now, and we've got a currency system that is designed by a vowed Marxist, anti-capitalist. Why? And why? Can you even imagine what we've done? I mean, do you see what's going on there? That stuff's serious. That stuff's as serious as what's going on now. These are major, major attacks on the greatest nation in the history of the world. You have to understand, we're like the ultimate battle-hardened tank as a country. We've had every orchestrated attack. Well, a lot of orchestrated attacks, maybe not every. From within. And everyone has said, we will fall from within, not from out. We've got a strong military. We're tough. So infiltrate our schools. Overtake the minds of our children, right? Isn't that what they're doing? You know, they're running us over. That's a problem. Once again, I want you to understand that that greenback stuff you got in your hands is made by a guy named John Maynard Keynes. It's called Keynesian Economics. He also said that his economic system is the necessary ingredient for Marxism to prevail. Think of that. The necessary ingredient for Marxism to prevail. Why is that? Because Marxism is all about the money. They want you to think it's not about the money. It's all about the money. This is about the redistribution of wealth. COVID, folks, has been the greatest redistribution of wealth from any angle, financially, percentage-wise, you name it, in the history of the world. Bar none. How did Trump get roped in? You know what I think? I think Trump knew all along it was a farce. I think he knew it was just one more darn curveball, and he had to play the politically game right. They knew it was a lie. It's kind of like Obama's birth certificate. Everyone knew it was a lie. And so they come out with a birth certificate that has 9 layers of editing on Adobe Photoshop. But at the time, the Republicans couldn't say anything because they'd look quacko. They get set up by the media. To heck with truth. You know? I mean, they're not looking for that stuff. And I think Trump knew. I think he knew. I think he knows. I think he believes that there's some real bad information here. The reportings of this COVID thing have just been ridiculous. And we're only 29 or 28 days, folks, from an election. We got issues. You start thinking about it, we got issues, right? I mean, they have done everything. This amount of chaos, what is the outcome? Pray for the peace of this nation. Pray for clarity. Folks, I mean, I'm a little bit on this, I suppose, I think is fair to say. And I have watched the stuff that they have done. I mean, it is unbelievable. NBC is coming out with polls that are skewed 15% in favor of Democrats, where they're over surveying vowed Democrats. Why? It's the confirmation bias I've discussed, where people want to belong. They want to fit in. They're playing on the psychology of humanity. And then when you get into social media, it gets even worse. Because this stuff is in your face all the time, nonstop. Read headlines. Read the headlines of articles, especially those that aren't coming from, you know, balanced sources. I mean, people go, oh, Fox is conservative. No, Fox has a pretty good balance, one of the better balances. I was listening, you know, Steve Hilton, he's this British journalist. He was talking about they have the better balance of everything. I mean, as far as perspectives, they've got liberals. Look at Chris Wallace. He's a big Fox guy. His dad ran 60 Minutes, Mike Wallace, before he passed. And he ended up supposedly moderating the debates. He did a horrible job because he let Trump sit there. I mean, would you sit there if someone starts a sentence and says, well, you know, Mr. So-and-so beats his wife and kicks the dog and drinks a fifth of alcohol before breakfast and then starts on. Are you going to stand there and go, well, you know, it's his turn to speak? No, it's a lie. And that's what Trump was doing. He's like, I'm not going to take it. I don't care. I'm not going to get ganged up on and look like a dork. Who wants a president like that? I don't. I think, as I started, the left got mad. I know, because I've talked to these guys. They shut off the TV and quit watching because they don't want to know the truth. They don't want to know. Why? Well, welcome to the world. Folks, I've worked with a lot of people. There's people that are just oblivious. They don't care. And you know what happens? We go through life like that. And as time goes on, we justify. We justify our failures. If we take responsibility and we try to be professionals and we want to grow or whatever you want to call it, we try to be good at what we do, the best at what we do, whatever God asks us to do, we're going to feel good about ourselves. We're going to grow. We're going to expand. We're going to become more intelligent. But eventually, if you pray, you know, the book of James says clearly, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask. It will be given to you. And it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. That's interesting. Something happened with Solomon. He asked for wisdom. He got a butt truck full, right? A big truck full. And something was going good there, but he's saying, isn't it interesting? He says, who gives generously to all without finding fault. Fault finding is a terrible personality trait. It's a critical spirit. It's always finding wrong with somebody else. This is really important, folks. You cannot gain wisdom with a fault-finding spirit, meaning you have to take personal responsibility. When we get a victim's mentality, and fault-finding is a victim's mentality, and, you know, trust me, we've all had our upbringings. We've all got this. We've all got that. Doesn't matter. God's word doesn't lay out, if, you know, you went through this, go through door A, and then if you that, go through door B. He's got a set of rules that fit all of us. Interesting, isn't it? How possible is that? I mean, after all, what about diversity? God's word applies to red, white, black, and blue, if there are such human colors. Male and female, and whatever other anatomical adjustments they've chosen to make, it's all the same. It's God's word. But here's the thing. If you have a fault-finding spirit, you're not taking responsibility. You're saying, what about you? Look at you. You're bad, or that person's bad, or bad, or bad, or bad. You can't get wisdom like that. When you get wisdom, you have to bow your head before God and say, Lord, I need wisdom. I want it. I want to know your view on things. I want to know your heart. Okay? If you're afraid that getting wisdom from God is going to convict you, or you're going to find fault in yourself, which actually kind of can happen, and you're avoiding it, then shame on you, you know? Oops, shame's bad too. You know, the no blame, no shame. There's all these little sayings out there, you know? And I understand families get the shame and guilt dump with all kind. You know, we're humans. We dig our own graves. But we need to be able to have God show us who we are within reason, I guess. I mean, obviously, if he showed us everything about ourselves, we'd probably want to just throw in the towel right there. And that's a nice way to put it. But it's interesting. He says he gives generously without fault finding. That does not apply like, okay, if you see a guy shooting heroin downtown and he wants money, that is not what this is talking about. This is talking about the heart of God. And the heart of God can fault find. I mean, he has a right. He's, you know, he's got every right. And we've got fault. But the main thing is we, again, have to eliminate the fault-finding spirit. And we can get into that as Christians, too, a critical spirit. It's important. We talk about the battle that lies ahead of us objectively. The name-calling and, you know, absolute disrespect for the position and things like that is just not right. It's not what we're called to do. You can totally fundamentally disagree, and you might feel like you're not being heard because you're not speaking the same obnoxious, disrespectful vernacular of the left. It doesn't matter. You know, if you can integrate the Word of God, you're going to get, you know, the Word of God's living and active. I've talked about that. You know, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4, 4:12. Let's go get that. I think that's what it is, 4:12. Give it a shot. For the Word of God, this is the NIV, is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That is the kind of fault-finding you want, is you just let God do the work. You use the Word of God, and then that's it. You let that do the work. And that's the same Spirit of God. He knows. He's got a forbearing patience that we don't comprehend. And we're so arrogant. I was watching a movie last night with Kathy Lee Gifford that she made, Frank Gifford's wife. He's passed. Kind of a cute little Hallmark style movie. But they got into this little God moment, and it was kind of like they're old and they're sitting there like, you know, they get into this God entanglement, and they're both kind of like saying, well, I haven't dealt with that. I don't know what it's about. And then they just move on. And I'm like, ouch. You're sitting at a pretty ripe old age. I mean, we spend all these years on earth. Folks, not every one of us. You know, the parable of talents is for a reason. We're put here. We get this vessel, this physical body. And it's a place for our spirit to exist while we're here. And we make a lot of decisions. And it's our final stop, a resting place before judgment one way or the other. And, you know, what happened before with our spirits, we don't know. But, you know, we've got X number of years to figure this stuff out. These are important things. How do we spend more time studying how to put on our makeup or studying how to, you know, redesign our home or redecorate or whatever it is you're into endlessly and not study our own salvation? I mean, you know, think about it. Can you comprehend not existing? I don't think so. Everything historically shows us there's an afterlife. You can go all the way back to the beginning of time. Written human history, it's always the same. Egypt spent the majority of their time preparing for the afterlife. They had the 40 commandments, which integrated our 10, but of course our Jews were there. Our Jews, I sound like Trump. Anyway, the Jews were in captivity at the time, so they had an influence on it. So they had that same basis of morality, and then they spent incredible amounts of time preparing for the afterlife. There had to be someone going somewhere. That's a lot of work for nothing. And their commandments are, you know, a desire to please Ra, the god, the great god. They had other pharaohs over time that would go super pantheistic or whatever. Atheism is not something that you really see much of throughout history. Paganism was there. And it's basically kind of a, you know, a religion that's, you know, I think my understanding is that it's based on beliefs and practices from outside the main world religion. And it they worship nature and they worship garbage, right? But the bottom line is they're still not denying there's a power out there. Atheism is just this terrible new thing. I mean, isn't that Satan's great tool? Hey, just abolish it. Forget about it. Pretend it doesn't exist. Say no. This is all a big lie. Look away and ignore it. And then you got a big surprise coming one day, pal. Not to mention your life on earth. I know a number of atheists. They're not happy, folks. I've dealt with them, talked with them. I know friends of them. It's a tough way to live. We have a purpose. We need a purpose. It's not like we concocted a God just to give ourselves a purpose. But that's why God put that in us. The whole concept that we can even conceptualize, when people just accept it as, well, you know, I disagree. I think that we're so intellectually blah-de blah blah in 18, 20 billion years, and just ignorance. I've been running into this a little bit more, and it's kind of like, really? You don't even want to think that stuff out? That's pretty sad, you know? It's like, what about the fact that you don't know anything? How big is the universe? I don't know. How much of it do you understand? None. How, you know, do our physical properties of nature apply everywhere? No. Because we know when there's gravitational changes, there's all kinds of issues that affect all kinds of things. Magnetism and all kinds. We just have no experience. We just know what we know here. So is there a chance that somewhere in, you know, or when they measure the tension in the atmosphere, they can measure that as you get further and further out, in the universe, it says that it becomes tighter. There's more energy. There's more power, if you call it that. Because, and then the Bible says that God stretches out the heavens, right? If you stretch a sheet or anything, all the pressure, it gets greater around the edges. The middle is not a problem. And when they had, you know, this movie that came out a while ago, oh, it started with a P, what was it? The Principle, showing that we're at the cross of everything universally. We're kind of at the best viewing point in the center and everything. It shows a sag. There's two sheets almost of stars that cross, or universes, galaxies, not universes, galaxies, and they sag like a sheet. Like if you held a sheet out kind of tight, you'd see a sag in the middle and all the pressures around the outsides. These are all weird things that completely contradict our minuscule comprehension of the laws of thermodynamics. So we know what we know, what we know where we're at. So my question is this: if we don't know any of that anywhere, is it possible that there's something out there you don't know about, you know, like God or whatever? I mean, you and I both know that to be true. So that is a long road to a short place about the fact that we are moving further and further away from truth. We're moving from God and truth. I just don't know that if the country's seen a time like this, and paganism, or I'm sorry, atheism's behind it. So another thing, a couple things I want to think about. You've got all these people that have a financially vested interest in all this stuff. And I'm reading an article about, you know, I guess, or I put some stuff together on how vaccine makers are learning to create pseudo-epidemics like COVID-19. Guess who a vaccine maker is? Mr. Bill Gates. He saw this coming. This guy's big time. I mean, who knows? Someone who thinks on that scale with that much power, he's finding a way to make himself very powerful. It says, if COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic is a hoax, as some claim, it would have to fool a lot of university-trained microbiologists. But surprisingly, this isn't the first time modern medicine has been completely fooled by a pseudo-epidemic. It says, yes, the COVID-19 pandemic is fake. Ooh, how about that? Obviously much larger than the ones that preceded it, but totally fake? How so, you asked? And then they've got this posting plan99.net that has all these facts and details, you know, showing the world, going into stuff I don't understand. Polymerase chain reaction tests, that's the PCR test they're using to test this stuff. And it's being used to diagnose coronavirus. And then they're showing how it fooled three major medical centers into mistakenly believing they were being besieged by a whooping cough epidemic between 2004 and 2007. And then it goes through all this stuff and how all these things have been tweaked and the levels have been changed whenever they want to create a pseudo-epidemic and come out with a vaccine. And it's like there's these reports from a guy, you know, why COVID-19 is guaranteed to never end. And it, you know, it's like few people paid attention to apparently this stuff because the media, right? That they're likening what happened during suspected infectious disease outbreaks at three major medical centers in Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Tennessee to this modern COVID-19. They do a nice job of laying this stuff out, and I'm trying to get through it without getting too deep and too in-depth. And so there really is a COVID-19. So the question is it killing hundreds of thousands of people or all these humans on Earth, right? I mean, that's what people want to know. So that's, you know, what the infection control officers thought when they were dealing with all these workers and all this stuff. So people die of things every day. we got about 8,000 deaths a day in the U.S., 150,000 deaths a day globally. And so now they're dumping a whole bunch of this stuff into COVID-19. So we've locked everybody down inside their homes during winter cold and flu season, and these excess, you know, death numbers are not a result of a lack of sunshine, vitamin D, but this coronavirus. So if it's not, you know, this thing goes through. If it's not COVID-19, what else could it be? Reuters fact-checking team says in 92.8% of deaths, COVID-19 was, quote, found to be the underlying cause of death. But there's no study that shows COVID-19 has ever been a singular cause for death. There's no study, folks, that has shown that COVID is a singular cause for death. And you go through these, how it popped up in these major medical centers and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And the thing that's really interesting, it goes into how our tests are fake and they can be tweaked with. There's this huge problem with this PCR test, etc. So they're basically explaining this thing is never going to end because they can tweak this test over and over again and keep getting the results they want. This is why I find it intriguing when Donald Trump comes out and he goes, I just went to real COVID school. And he says things like, it's been very interesting. It's been very enlightening. I'm really glad I did it. It's really helped me see the truth. What is he saying? Is this more providential oversight? He's like, here, I'll throw this at you. Then they come out today. I'm reading these articles how these Chinese guys tried to plan it and who knows what. There's always these blendings of truth. 9/11's full of it. 9/11 had all, you know, the Project for a New American Century had truckloads of money. They orchestrated this massive event in a day. They changed laws and times, as it says, and they made it so that all you had to have approval by these big names, the Cheneys and Rumsfelds, before you could intercept planes. And I mean, it was just a mess. They changed it all 2 months before 9/11 or less and fixed it all right afterwards. They had it all set up and ready to go. So you had some real terrorist pilots. You definitely did have planes going into the building. When you look at these planes close up, they're not commercial airlines. All the eyewitnesses for the Pentagon say that was not a plane. You look at any astrophysicist, and he's like, it's physically impossible it could be a plane. Not only the size of the puncture hole, but and the level, it couldn't even have gotten that low. And it goes on and on and on like this. So here we got somehow a weird mixture of truth and fact here. Truth and fact. I'm starting to sound like Biden. We don't believe in we believe in truth over facts. Yeah, our truth. But so with the COVID virus, you've got there's a conglomeration of things going on. There really is a Wuhan lab. Gates built it. He's got the patent on this coronavirus. He's done what he can on it. There's a loose statement. He's modified it to kill people potentially. We don't know. He wants all the vaccinations and all the tests and all, you know, so there's something there. And he's tied in with China and he got a bunch of awards. And now they're saying China's planting this stuff. But you know what? Maybe they know it's kind of a farce, but they don't care because when they've got everyone brainwashed. If you remember the beginning of how they started out, I mean, and that's what Trump keeps saying. He's like, these guys are the ones that caused the problem. They pumped out propaganda that was horrendous. Literally, folks, you may not remember. Locking people, boarding people in their homes to die, showing bodies all over the street covered with these black body bags. You know, like people were dying like something you'd see in a movie. And it said they did it. A guy that came out that's apparently they respect said they did it. A Chinese guy said they did it to destroy world economies and did it in conjunction with Hillary. Folks, think about this. We have an FBI report that, you know, the left is screaming everything they can to get you to look away. We have an FBI report showing that Hillary Clinton intentionally created, paid for and the dossier and created the Russia hoax completely to take the focus off of her emails of a crime, a documented, documentable, verifiable, visible crime for a hypothetical false illusion. The power of socialism is crazy. Why? Why do these guys like James Comey do this stuff? They have no integrity. I will argue that without God, integrity is a very, very sparse occurrence. True integrity. I think men in general will sell their souls too quickly for various things. That's what appears to be happening. Because you get these people in offices of great power, and they sell their soul on the way up. Favors are made. Deals are cut. You know, you watch Joe Biden's lies, my goodness, about Hunter Biden taking all this money from this and that. And, I mean, this is all part of the game. This is a dirty, dirty, dirty thing. So I'm seeing Trump coming out of this thing pretty quickly, I believe. I think he already has. And then, there's all this asymptomatic cases. So now they're telling us, they're telling the public about all these asymptomatic cases. Never show any rise in antiviral antibodies. Shouldn't that cause health authorities to come to a conclusion there is no viral infection? You know, the CDC says, quote, testing asymptomatic persons should be avoided, as it increases the likelihood of obtaining falsely positive results. But this PCR test alone has somehow become the gold standard with no confirming symptoms needed. This thing is just off the charts. An 8%, he says, just an 8% false positive rate for COVID-19 in the USA will create, now listen to this, a never-ending pseudo-epidemic of about 600-plus deaths per day being attributed to COVID-19 forever. So if this test, again, has an 8% false positive rate, which this article documents, in the USA alone, it'll create a never-ending pseudo-epidemic of 600 deaths per day or more, and that'll be attributed to COVID-19 forever. This thing comes up, it senses a ton of things to do with dead virus in the system and all this stuff. They keep saying, more testing. And then that'll somehow quell the pandemic. Now they have this suppression target of 4.3 million tests per day established, or 344,000 new fake cases per day, even if the virus has entirely disappeared. That's how messed up this study is, this testing system. I mean, these are just crazy, crazy things. And it says, here's circuitous, I'll read this and move on, circuitous, reasoning. COVID-19 is the test. The test is the disease. With this circuitous reasoning, circular means, if you test positive for COVID-19 using the PCR test and you don't have any symptoms, then you have an asymptomatic case of COVID-19. You can't not have the disease. Think about that. It doesn't make sense. All these people are being herded into testing or will naively keep the pandemic going. Stop the testing and the pandemic vanishes. 8,000 Americans die every day, and many of them due to pneumonia, tuberculosis, other lung infections. And yeah, that's a bummer, and, you know, it sucks. But with a positive PCR test, these deaths will be attributed to COVID-19. just like the whooping cough cases were back in 04 to 07. And then you get into the money. Congress has been putting out, you know, what, $250 billion for testing or whatever it is, $25 billion. Hospitals believe the money's theirs. All they have to do is check the right box on the death certificate, and they get it. Hospitals are now lobbying for the disease to be diagnosed solely on symptoms to make sure their cash flow continues. No tests, just symptoms. So they're making this a desirable aspect of the medical system. These whack job lefties, I don't know why they'd want to just tear us apart like this. I don't know. It says so, and then they say here, Public Health England. I like this definition of COVID-19 death. Anyone who's ever tested positive and then died for any reason at any time. And that's why they're called the worst hit country in the world. It's a statistical fantasy. It makes no sense. The magic question is, what does the White House know, right? And I'll try to buzz through this. President Trump knows something, folks. He's said it many different ways. You got to listen. Don't just listen to what someone says. Listen to what they don't say. For unexplained reasons, the Trump administration planned to end the funding for coronavirus testing. Why? The president can't come out directly and say the whole COVID-19 pandemic is fake, but I think he knows it. The scientific community would destroy him. The news media would absolutely feast on him. On September 16th, he repeatedly said, they say 34 times at one press conference, that the virus will disappear. He knows it's fake, folks. The people have the control, but they'll remain under the deception of the misinformation networks because via our, you know, propaganda screens, TVs, that's controlling our narrative and social media, whatnot. What if no one shows up for the tests? In an irony, the masses are supposed to stay locked down at home, but they can come out of their houses or their caves for the test. So now they're showing sun lamps in Australia have completely eliminated it, UV-free sun lamps and all this stuff. They don't, you know, I can go into all that, but in carotene and a few different vitamins is all it takes. Think about it, folks. We're being put together. Trump's got this grin on his face like, you guys, man, he knows and he can't say it. Pay attention. But we're getting put together. This is going to be the beginning of a lot of a long mess. And I'm always like, hey, you know, secure your wealth and finances. I assume the majority of you have. You know, we're running, you know, tight, but we take good care of people. There's never any question. If you want to do that, just, you know, you can give us a call. Tell us what you're sending in. We'll build your portfolio. It'll be, you know, precious metals based, obviously. We might, you know, mix it up a little bit into a portfolio basis. The exact same thing I do for myself, a close relative or anything. That's how we treat everybody all the time because we win when you win. We want you to win. We want you to do well. And I believe in what we're doing, and I believe the future leans heavily towards the past. I mean, hard assets, they've last forever. They've never changed. The only things biblically attributed is true wealth, gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, and precious stones. And that's what it all goes back to. We're not smarter than that. Cyber currency, who knows what that's going to end up, the crypto thing. So give us a call. Let us help you out. Also, you know, go online, Google, Facebook, you know, whatever it is, Yelp or whatever. Give us 3 5-star reviews or something based on an experience. And we'll give you 2 nice Morgans. Take care. God bless. Have a great night. Bye-bye.